Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Dallas Academy, ladies and gentlemen, emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now, of simply knocking out all bumps. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Who am I? I'm an award-winning writer, so I've won some awards for boxing, and I won 4 Golden Glove championships. So supposedly, allegedly, people think I know a little bit about boxing, but I've always found out that the average boxing fan probably knows more. So I give you an opportunity with the toll-free phone line here to let me know if you know more. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You want to drop us a line on boxing? You want to drop me a line? You can. 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Well, lots of boxing to talk about last night. Of course, on top, there really was no on top because Nanoa Inoue, of course, he was the man from Japan. They call him the monster. He was a winner in 3 rounds. Talk about that in depth. Of course, Jermell Charlo, the 160-pound Charlo, the undefeated Charlo, of course, is his brother Jermell. Jermell and Jamal, I get them confused. But the bottom line is, one of them went, still is undefeated now, 32-0, a 12-round decision winner last night, defending the WBC super middleweight title. Once again, open phone lines all around the planet, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, WBC Boxing TV.
He is the greatest fighter of all times next to me.
Now that we've got that out of the way, my name is Pedro Fernandez. You are listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Not doing the Twitch.tv broadcast today, but the audio is happening, of course, at iHeartRadio, SportsByline.com, and about 1,000 other internet platforms. Straight up, last night, of course, across the pond, we're talking about Hamburg, Germany, 42-year-old former middleweight champion. I think he won the super middleweight title as well, meaning 160 and 168 pounds. I'm talking about Felix Sturm, now 42-5, 3 draws, 18 KOs. You might remember when he engaged Oscar De La Hoya in Las Vegas, and he got the elevator and instead got the shaft. I mean, he should have got the penthouse and instead got the shaft. I'll go with the elevator ride he took with Oscar De La Hoya. It went 12 rounds, and everybody said, well, Oscar's not going to be fighting Bernard Hopkins because Felix Sturm just beat him, right? Well, no. The judges went, but the boxing establishment went with Oscar De La Hoya. So we'll have some Oscar De La Hoya news a little bit later. Anyway, the boxing establishment went with Oscar De La Hoya tonight. Of course, De La Hoya went on to fight Bernard Hopkins and got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Of course, Hopkins will go on to then after him take care of his nemesis in Felix Trinidad. Hopkins cleaned up at 160 pounds, no doubt about that. But Felix Sturm back in action, taking on a guy that was undefeated. I mean, you got to give him some props here. He came in and fought a guy that was in James Craft, who came in at 19-0 with 10 KOs and a draw. So that, you know, he left at 19-1. So what can I say? His scores were 99-93, 96-94, and 97-94. The man is back, or is he? Anyway, one of Germany's favorite fighters, no doubt about that. Unbeaten WBC middleweight. I'm talking about 160-pound champion Jermell Charlo. I keep getting them messed up here. 32-0 now, 22 KOs, retained his title with a 12-round unanimous nod over, Juan Macias Montel, 22-5, a couple of draws, 22 KOs. All of his wins were by knockout. If he wasn't going to knock Charlo out, he wasn't going to win, probably, and he wasn't going to win anyway. Bottom line is the odds were stacked against him. I think he was like a 25-1 underdog, tonight, Toyota Center, Houston, Texas. Of course, the Charlo brothers getting all kinds of props this week in Houston by the mayor and by the WBC, and everybody's giving them awards. And they say, you know, and they are, listen, they are positive elements for boxing, and positive elements for the community. I mean, these guys aren't out there getting in trouble or beating up women or any kind of good stuff. They aren't NFL players or NBA players or any good stuff. They're just boxers doing their thing. They happen to be two boxers. They seem to have a pretty good mother. That's the foundation of all this. Mrs. Charlo, she seems to be the foundation, the granite that holds us all together. But of course, the 154 pound champion, he lost once. He came back, he regained that title. But this one, Jermell, 160 pounds, 32-0 now, 22 KOs, a 12 round unanimous winner over Mr. Montiel. Mr. Montiel, can I say, lots of knockouts, but not a whole lot of skill. 118-109, 119-109, and 120-108. And afterwards, Charlo sort of put to death any rumors that he might be moving up in weight and showing some intestinal fortitude and taking on the man himself. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. Saul Canelo Alvarez. Somebody said to me, they didn't. I said, that's Saul Alvarez. No, that's Canelo. I said, okay, well, that's Canelo is his nickname. Saul is his real name. Anyway, bottom line is, Charlo, of course, rumored for a long time to be wanting to step up to the big times. He keeps saying, hey, I want the big fights. But the big guys won't fight me. I mean, that's what he's been moaning about for the longest, right? Well, I guess he's realized that that's gone too far. I mean, it holds no water, because the bottom line is 168 pounds is where the champion is. I'm talking about the pound-for-pound champion, all the boxing. If he wants to take on Saul Alvarez, Alvarez is not going to come down to 160 pounds. So anyway, here's Charlo's statement after the fight. 160 pounds is my weight division. I want to unify. I want to get Gennady Golovkin in the ring. I want to bring him to Houston. I want to get Canelo to come to Houston if he'll come down to 160 pounds. This is my weight division. I'm going to stay here and reign here. This is my fourth title defense, and I have many more to come. I'm young. I'm hungry. Yeah, you're young. You're hungry. But the bottom line is you have no zeal for greatness. I mean, in order to be great, I keep repeating this maybe weekly, and I don't want to hammer this home, is that great fighters don't accidentally become great. I mean, greatness is something that you have to strive for, something that you have to gamble for. I mean, you have to step across that line. I'm talking about, Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns in 1981, when Ray was about to have his eyes closed and the fight was about to stop, and he got off that stool and stopped Tommy in the 14th round. I mean, Ray told me one time, we were sitting in a hot tub down in West Palm Beach, Florida, prior to the Tommy Hearns fight in 1989. Of course, that was they had the big anniversary last week, June 12th. But of course, Hearns won the fight and got screwed with a draw. But Sugar Ray and I were sitting in a jacuzzi in his room, his private jacuzzi. And, we're talking this and that. I said, Ray, what makes a great fighter? And he thinks about it for a second. He looks at me. He says, the willingness to gamble. Simply put, the willingness to gamble. And of course, some guys are willing to gamble. Charlo's not willing to gamble. So Charlo's probably not going to become a great, great, great fighter per se. But the bottom line is he has some good skills. His brother has good skills. And of course, they are with the, promotional group of Al Haymon and company. So I guess what Al says goes. And right now, Al, I think, is putting the kibosh on any fights in which his fighters will clash with other fighters because of the fact that probably his fighters will probably lose. He doesn't want to, if you're going to gamble and win, that's cool. But if you're going to gamble and lose, that's not so cool. So I guess Mr. Harvard graduate, talking about Al Haymon, probably doesn't want to gamble on that one. Anyway, bottom line is Oscar De La Hoya. I mentioned him a little earlier. Of course, him fighting Felix Sturm and then getting lit up by Bernard Hopkins, of course. He's going to come back now. Yeah, September the 11th. You remember the date of 9/11, all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, the bombs will be falling because he's going to be fighting. Are you ready for this? Vitor Belfort. I wonder what he's going to get Vitor to do to come to weight. Because, I'm speaking of come to weight. I'll get to it in just a second. But, Vitor Belfort is an MMA fighter who fought like at 185 pounds. And I think he even fought at 205 pounds for a while. So he's going to come down to what? To Oscar's weight? What's Oscar weighing these days? 168 pounds? I mean, that's not going to happen. Anyway, De La Hoya, 9/11, going to do an exhibition or some court on Triller TV. Of course, Triller TV now getting into the boxing mix. Of course, they were screwed last night when Teofimo Lopez came up earlier this week with a positive COVID test. Of course, the reigning WBC World Ring Magazine Linear Champion. I'm talking about the man himself, Teofimo Lopez. Tio. Of course, he came up positive for COVID, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. And, of course, they scratched the entire card, and that cost some people a lot of money. And, there were undercard fighters that were in town. In other words, you're doing like a 6-round fight, right? And you're coming from, say you're coming from across the country. You fly across the country this day, you get into town a couple days before the fight, and then boom, they tell you the fight ain't happening. And guess what? They're probably not paying either. So what can you, you're an independent contractor. If you don't fight, you don't fulfill the contract, right? So that's what's happening with that anyway. Boxers always getting the short end of the stick, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. No Twitch video today. Had some problems with that, but I'll get back to it next Saturday. No doubt about that. Of course, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting, where it's 2 p.m. Eastern time, at 8 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii, for Cliff and all his buddies out there. But the bottom line is, we rock and roll Saturday and Sunday, Saturday for an hour, 11 a.m. Pacific time. Of course, then Sunday for 2 hours, 11 a.m. Pacific time, on iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, the SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217, the American Forces Network. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is you can always catch us at sportsbyline.com. Some people say, hey, what's happening? You can always catch us at sportsbyline.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, my man Rick Stevens, may he rest in peace. This is his song. He used to get royalty checks for it when he was in prison. You are tuned to Ring Talk and WBC Boxing TV.
Would it bother you much if I worked a little longer?
Just pull the door closed when you leave.
Thank you.
If there's magic in boxing, it's the magic of fighting battles beyond endurance, beyond cracked ribs, ruptured kidneys, and detached retinas. It's the magic of risking everything for a dream that nobody sees but you.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
That is just a fact of life.
The guitar of the mighty, mighty Jeff Camilleri, man, rocking and rolling with Tower of Power back in the day. I saw him online a couple of days ago. He's appearing weekly, I think, I'll get it down next week. No doubt about that, because I wanted to see Jeff. Now that everything's happening, California's open. We're back to living life somewhat normally. I mean, we still wear a mask. We go in places. But for the most part, people that got the vaccine, it's sort of cool now. You know where I'm coming from? You got the vaccine, you're sort of living life a little bit more comfortably. At least I am. Anyway. They call him the King. That was his nickname. But Gabe Rosado, now 26-13, sounds like a journeyman's record, but he's not really. He's a two-division champion, a two-time champion. Anyway, bottom line is, he was a spectacular knockout winner over a guy by the name of Beaky. Let's call him Beaky, because he's got one of his names that's really tough, but he was 6-1 coming in with 6 knockouts. He's now 7-1. He got dropped at 121 of the third round. Of course, he's going to end up hooking up with this kid's the real deal. I'm talking about the former 154-pound champion, of course, Jaime Munguia, the WBO, now 37-0, 30 KOs. Of course, he took apart a guy, but was ranked number 11th by the IBF, named Camille Zezamoretta. Now, I had a problem with his name yesterday, but I won't have a problem with his name ever again, because we'll probably never have to mention it again. But the bottom line is, he's now 21-2 with 5 KOs. The punchless fighter came in and just got lit up. I mean, for 6 rounds, and he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. Of course, this took place in the Don Haskins Center down there in El Paso, Texas. I miss El Paso. I remember I did a fight in El Paso, Texas with Johnny Tappy one time, and Johnny ended up winning the fight, but he wasn't happy with his performance. Johnny can be hot and run hot and cold on you. He went a little nuts on me in the end. They didn't all say a little nuts, but he got a little moody with me in the post-fight interview we did in the ring. So I remember that night was a little crazy. So good old El Paso, Texas. Hey, where I went across the border, they were murdering all kinds of people in El Paso and the Mexican town across the border, Camp Juarez, I think it's Juarez. Anyway, but the bottom line is the people were dying left and right. Hookers were dying. Tourists were dying. Everybody was dying, right? So I disappear for a day, and I go across the border, and I buy some clothes and some shoes and this and that, and I come back, and the promoter at that time cared about me. Lenny Fresco goes, "Brother, where have you been? Where have you been?" I go, "Lenny, what do you mean, where have I been? I went across the border. I thought, you know, my God, why did you go across the border?" I said, "Because I wanted to do some shopping, and this is what I do when I come, you know, to a border town. We go across the border, we go shopping." "Not in Juarez, man. Too many people are dying. I was worried about you." I said, "Were you worried about me, or were you worried about not having an announcer tonight when you hit the air? Think about that. When he's Jaime Munguia now, 37-0, it looks like he's in a battle. Probably, you know, I mean, if Jermell Charlo wants to step up, he talks about wanting to fight good guys. He wants to fight Gennady Golovkin. Next, of course, Golovkin pretty long in the tooth. This guy's not long in the tooth. He's ranked number one by the WBC, and that's going to be a problem. I mean, that's going to be a real problem, Jermell Charlo. I just think it'd be a real problem. 37 is zip, 30 KOs. I wasn't pleased with his performances at 154. I'm talking about Munguia. Of course, he fought out of Tijuana for the most part, but I wasn't performed. When he performed at 154, he was weight starved. He didn't have his whole bag. You know, I mean, you can't have your bag of tricks. You can't have your bag of tricks when you're weight starved and you're really dying to make the weight. Now, I'm not trying to say he's not dying to make 160 pounds, but he's not cutting off an arm and leg and appendage to make 154 like he was before. But anyway, the bottom line is he took six rounds to claim the WBO Intercontinental Middleweight title Saturday night. And of course, as I said, at the Don Haskins Center in El Paso, Texas. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Guess who didn't win last night? Oh, I know you're not going to believe this. Julia Cesar Chavez? Wait, Julia? A means feminine? Yes, it does. See, in Spanish, when you say the O means feminine, and the the O means masculine, like Julio, that means a masculine, and then Julia, A, means feminine, right? So we're going to change Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.'s name to Julia. And why am I going to do that? Because he got lost again. I mean, come on. One time, a WBC middleweight champion, he was a tough kid. He was rugged. I mean, they pulled some strings for him, but when he fought at that upper level at 160, he beat a few guys. I mean, he really did. So at 160, he was somewhat the real deal. But anything after that, you know, it's just been like a cartoon. I mean, he's fighting at 168, 178, 175, 184. I mean, yesterday, he was supposed to make 182 pounds, or the day before yesterday, to fight this guy named Anderson Silva. Anderson Silva was on this show about, 2008, when he fought for the UFC light heavyweight championship or the middleweight championship over there in Oakland, California, and he lost, and then he was winning, he did win. He was losing after four rounds. He came back and he won. I can't remember the big mouth that they almost beat him tonight. Anyway, Anderson Silva, not a good boxer. He was 1-1 as a pro, with one knockout and one knockout. What I mean, how can he have one knockout and one knockout? Well, he was knocked out once and that one loss, and the one win he had was a knockout win. So that's how he had the 1-1-1 basically type of record. Anyway, last night he goes eight rounds with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and he beats him. I mean, here's a guy that's, like I said, he can't box. I mean, he's not much of a boxer. He's just not. I mean, not much of a fighter. Oh, well, at the age of 41 and 42 years old now, Anderson the Spider Silva, of course, the former UFC great. Of course, but that was like long. Like I said, he was defending the title back in 2008. That was 13 years ago. So 13 years past his, or 14 years past his peak, as far as the UFC fighter is concerned, he gets drawn into the ring with Julia Cesar Chavez Jr., and ends up losing a split decision. I think it was 77-75, 77-75. That was for Silva. The two judges, one other judge had it 77-75 for Chavez. And then Chavez, after the fight, said, "I should have got a draw." Listen, when you start moaning and bitching and saying you should have got a draw, you know what that means? You lost. I mean, when you start, "Oh, I should have had a draw." No. Either you win or you lose. You never, like, should have had a draw. Fights are never really even. I mean, rarely are they ever even. I mean, seriously, it's almost impossible for a boxing match. Think about this. For a three-minute round, it's almost impossible for it to be even. I mean, if you think about what's going on and you judge each second of the fight, it's almost impossible. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, I mentioned Teofimo Lopez not being able to do his thing last night because of the positive COVID test earlier in the week, actually midweek. He's going to come back to do this in August. Of course, George Kambosos, the brash Australian challenger, he started talking smack, and I guess it's going to build up some type of more animosity between these two guys. There's already enough animosity. The thing is, can Kambosos fight? I mean, I've seen him fight against Leo Selby, and he beat Selby handily, but that's Selby. Anyway, we go down under to Australia, of course, on Wednesday. Australian heavyweight champion Justin Huni, now 5-0 with four whacks, scored a 10th round knockout against previously unbeaten rugby icon. I'm talking about Paul Galen. Galen was the guy. I mean, he was just the guy. Everybody thought he was such a star and a stud. He was a rugby player down there, and he had got himself a record, I think, of 10-0 with one draw and six knockouts. So they said, you know, they're going to put him in this battle for the Australian Heavyweight Championship. It's going to be the most watched match in Australian history, which is like blows me away because, you know, they had Jeff Fenwick and guys like that there. And anyway, bottom line is record crowd. As far as the pay-per-view was concerned, record crowd as far as Australian TV is concerned. And, of course, the knockout came in the 10th round. And, you know, I mean, the rugby star showed a lot of heart. He had a big following. His Mr. Huni had a good following as well, of course. This is Australia. Hopefully they shook hands afterwards because there was a lot of bad blood going into that one. There just was. Anyway, as far as the undercard is concerned, not a whole lot on the undercard down in Australia. Australia, of course, flourishes. When they have MMA, they love their MMA cars. They've, you know, done real well down there. Of course, Ronda Rousey got beaten down there when Holly Holm basically, like, it was domestic violence. If they were gay, it would have been domestic violence. I mean, Holly Holm just tore her apart, man, Talk about Ronda Rousey. Of course, the one-time USC Bantamweight Women's Champion, one-time the face of MMA. Well, no longer anymore. Of course, she went to the world of wrestling entertainment, WWE, and she didn't make a whole lot of friends there. In fact, she ticked a whole lot of people off, but not the management. The management wasn't all that ticked off with her because she got good numbers and good ratings and things like that. But the other wrestlers, the ones that had to make her look good, because that's what this is all about. When you have wrestling, I'll explain professional wrestling real quick. It's a work. What I mean by a work is you've got two guys who are going to sit there and work to make each other look good. That's what you want. That's the ideal match. When one guy works to make the other guy look good, because they both look good in the process and they make it believable. Of course, that's kayfabe. Kayfabe doesn't happen anymore. It just doesn't. I mean, kayfabe was the thing where wrestling is real and wrestlers always played it off no matter where they went and things like that. And then Vince McMahon came along, of course, and then made it into World Wrestling Entertainment and sort of took the kayfabe out of it and said that it basically admitted that they were fixed matches and this and that. Once they did that, I think it took the glimmer out of professional wrestling as far as I was concerned. Now, if other promotions come up as of late, somebody sent me a text on this, why I'm going off on this. They have other promotions come up for late. Of course, Major League Wrestling's on vacation for a while, but I hear that they don't pay well. And I hear that the WWE has now swallowed up Selena De La Rente. That's not her real name, but that was her stage name. And she was probably the best heel manager in all of pro wrestling. She was doing a thing with SEW, Southeast Wrestling. But that's going to go bye-bye because the blood hunter, who was Devin Nicholson, who was this YouTuber that gets like, he gets like a million hits a month. So I'm not BSing. He gets like a million hits a month. So the guy absolutely knows what he's doing, all right? So bottom line is he has left SEW, and when he took the blood hunter with him, there went SEW wrestling. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Ring Talk Live Worldwide returns after the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
No, I will not go 10,000 miles from here to help murder and kill another poor people simply to continue
the domination of white slave masters over the darker people of the earth.
Muhammad Ali, his death, the anniversary of his death passed a couple of weeks ago. Of course, the greatest will never be replaced, no doubt about that. Speed up great. Once thought to be great, or on the potential of being a great fighter, Isaac Dogbe, of course, from, I think he's originally from Jamaica, in the United Kingdom, but I think he was fighting under Jamaica. Anyway, Ghana, anyway. Now 22-2, got stopped at one time, of course, by Mr. Valenzuela. Mr. Valenzuela, of course, the world 122-pound champion at that point in time, moved up to 126, and hopefully, we'll see if we see bigger and better things for him at 130, but 126 seems to be where he's waiting. Anyway, Dogbe, winner last night, very controversial over Adam Lopez, who went 12, went 10 rounds. One judge had it 97-93 for Dogbe. The other judge had it even. And the other judge had it 96-94 for Dogbe. Adam Lopez drops to 15-2. He wasn't too happy about the fight. Afterwards, in fact, the announcer sort of said that it was a bit of a robbery. I don't know if it was a bit of a robbery, but the bottom line is at the end of the day, Dogbe did get his hand raised. No doubt about that. Now, the man. They call him the monster. I'm talking about Nao Inoue, of course, from Japan. What does he bring to the dance? Everything. I mean, he's undefeated. He's got a couple of belts at 118 pounds. Of course, he doesn't have the WBC or the WBO belt, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the bottom line is he is now 21 and zip, 18 KOs. I mean, last night he took apart Filipino's Michael Desimarinas. I mean, just took him apart, stopped him in the third round, full-fledged knockout. 10 count, bottom line is the end of the day. He is the man, no doubt about that, at 118 pounds. Or is he? Because, you know, he fought about 2 years ago against Nonito Donaire. Of course, Donaire, now the WBC champion, having come off that win a couple of weeks ago, that big upset win, grabbing the title at 38 years old, breaking all kinds of records and this and that. But, you know, now Donaire is in a position where he maybe wants to fight, you know, for one more time for a big payday, and that would probably be with Inoue, one more time with Inoue, because the last time they fought, although Donaire lost, he broke his optical bones. He broke, you know, in the Japanese fighter's optical bones. So the bottom line is there was some damage done on that, but last night he didn't show any residual effects from that injury, no doubt about that. Anyway, it was announced that August 14th, WBO world champion John Rael Casimiro will face the WBC title holder, Nonito Donaire, in 118-pound showdown. Of course, the winner will eventually step up and take on Mr. Inoue. Of course, Nonito Donaire, what can you say about the Filipino Flash? Man, July 7th, 2007, he knocks out Vic Charchini in the flash of an eye. Vic doesn't realize he gets knocked out. And they interview Vic after the fight, and Vic's going, "What do you mean, knocked out? I wasn't even knocked out. What are you talking about? And that's what happens when you interview a fighter after he's been knocked unconscious. Anyway, of course, Donaire thought that was his peak, 7707. That was 14 years ago. And of course, he comes back a few weeks ago with his wife in the corner. And not only did they win via knockout. I mean, it was like, wow. I mean, put a punctuation mark on that one. Has to be fighter of the year, upset fighter, upset winner, upset of the year. No doubt about that thus far, but probably fighter of the year as well. And you know, you want to wish him the very best. His wife is a rough chick. She is. Rachel's a rough chick, man. I mean, she's not the type of woman you can walk over. I think people in boxing didn't like her and this and that, but the bottom line is she's taking care of her man. She was in the corner. She seems to have things down because he's winning at 38 years old. Now, getting some texts here coming in here. Why am I dogging Julio Cesar Chavez? I'm dogging him. Oh, wait, why are you dogging him? He lost to a bigger guy. Yeah, he lost to a bigger guy, but that was on him. I mean, if he wants to fight at 184 pounds, you have to pay the price for fighting at 184 pounds. You just can't say, well, I'm 165. You know, you're going to have to come down to, you're going to have to be weigh 184, but fight me at 160. In other words, it's not going to happen that way. If you're a 160-pound fighter, you fight at 160. If you're 168, you fight at 168. Chavez really isn't anything. He's undisciplined. I mean, he's lost at all kinds of different weights. Heavier weights, lower weights, it doesn't matter when it comes to Julio Cesar Chavez. And as far as him losing to an MMA guy last night, yes, Anderson Silva was at one time a decent MMA fighter, a really decent, an iconic fighter, okay? But as far as his boxing skills were concerned, I mean, he wasn't going to Canasota or anything like that in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, and neither is Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Speaking of Julio Cesar Chavez, his the legend, I'm talking about his father, of course, did an exhibition last night with Julio Hector Camacho Jr. And I think they went 8 rounds and it was a spirited little exhibition. And they wanted to take their headgears off for the last round, but that wasn't happening. At the end of the night, I think, you know, it was good for Julio, for him to come back. He made 143 pounds. Get this. When he last fought it. When you're doing live remote broadcasts, things happen. And we're trying to do a live remote broadcast, of course, from Northern California. I'm doing a special presentation a little bit later in the day, so we thought we could do this remotely, and evidently there's some line drops, and Cuddy just called me back, so big headache, no doubt about that. Now, I was talking about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., of course, the son of the legend Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., because the reason why I brought him Jr. is he lost to Anderson Silva, of course, a former MMA icon, but his father did an exhibition with Hector Camacho Jr. Of course, Camacho Jr. and I, we sat together for the Bernard Hopkins Felix Trinidad fight. So I sat with him for like 12 rounds and I talked with him this and that. And I realized the kid was never nearly as focused as his father and not nearly as gifted as his father. Anyway, last night he weighed 160 for an exhibition that Chavez weighed in 143 pounds for. So more power to Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. for him coming back, making the weight and doing it in, you know, in a manner you can be proud, because I mentioned during the break there, that, you know, Roberto Duran has come back and done exhibitions and not looked all that good, you know what I'm saying? But Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. last night, senior, as far as the momentum was concerned, he definitely, listen, he really showed a lot of stones, no doubt about that. Now, next week, we've got, of course, the boxing schedule, the 26th, going to be on Showtime Championship Boxing from the State Farm Arena, Atlanta, Georgia. Of course, you know that Jackie Sunshine Smith is going to be there. Anyway, Gervonta Davis, undefeated. The 130-pound champion, 135-pound champion, going to step up to 140 pounds and take on Mario Barrios. Barrios comes to us, I think, out of Texas. He does come to us out of Texas. He is a 140-pound WBA champion. So he is a junior welterweight, a legitimate junior welterweight. I mean, he's a big guy. So, you know, Davis is going to be giving up a lot of size. He's going to have to take some punishment to get inside if he wants to land to the body and win this fight. But Davis is a favorite going in. Some people say it's unwarranted, but hey, Tank has never lost a fight. I mean, not even come close to losing a fight. So, Tank Davis, one of the better fighters pound for pound, maybe with an asterisk, because, you know, we were saying that about Shakur Stevenson. And then Stevenson took on Nakathaelia, whatever his name was, last week, and he went 10 rounds or 12 rounds. It was like the most boring fights that you could ever want to see in a long time. It was like a snooze fest. If you're a crack addict and you can't go to rehab and you need to go to sleep, Go look that fight up on YouTube. Watch that fight a couple of times, Shakur Stevenson, and you will go to sleep. I guarantee it. No doubt about that. It was a snoozer. In fact, you know, people say to me, like Colin Seymour of the San Francisco Chronicle, former of the San Jose Mercury News, he said to me, you know, how can you say that Shakur Stevenson's stock dropped when the fact that he won by scores of 120-107 across the board? Of course, 120-108 will be a stone cold shutout, but he had a knockdown to boot, so he got an extra point. So how can I knock a guy for that? Well, you know, Charlo won last night against a guy that didn't even look like he was there to fight. I mean, Mr. Montiel, I mean, does he have issues where he's like drunk? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the guy looked like he was done punch drunk, just fighting drunk. Anyway, I wasn't impressed with that last night at all. Anyway, Barrios, according to some people, of course, being trained by Virgil Hunter over there in the Andre Ward camp. In fact, Andre Ward was photographed in the gym with him this past week. And I would say that Andre Ward's coming back. He's trying to come back. He probably didn't negotiate this. If he wants to come back and fight Canelo in November, maybe that would be the fight. Okay. A big fight with Canelo in November. He'd have to make 160 pounds and they wouldn't allow him any tune-ups. So I think he's trying to get himself in the best shape he can physically in the gym without a tune-up fight to see where he can go as far as Canelo's concerned. Now, this is all speculation, but I'm telling you, the guys went from 2.5 chins to no chins in like 3 months. Andre Ward's training. Speaking of guys that's going to need training, Masatoshi Nakatani. Good fighter, no doubt about that. I mean, he's a real deal from Japan. He's a lightweight that can punch, tall, rangy guy. But he's taking on Vasyl Lomachenko. Of course, the former champion, 130, now 135 pounds. Guy that lost to Teofimo Lopez, sort of got upset. A 5-1 underdog was Lopez. Of course, upset the apple cart, took the title. No doubt about him winning the fight by as many points as maybe 4 or 5. I mean, he just took Lomachenko apart. He just beat him to the punch almost throughout the entire fight. Anyway, Vasyl Lomachenko, now a twice beaten fighter, having lost that one fight when he was mugged by Orlando Salido early in his career in an over the weight match. Of course, Salido weighed in like, he was supposed to weigh 126. Salido weighed 128, and then he came into the ring like at 145 pounds. And he just pushed Vasyl Lomachenko all over the place. And Lomachenko was a rookie at the time. I think he only had 3 or 4 pro fights. And guess what? He lost that night. But the bottom line is you can't mention those two guys in the same breath. No way, no how. There's a WBC flyweight title online June 26th as well. I think it's coming to us from Mexico, Guadalajara, Mexico. Joel Cordova is going to challenge Julio Cesar Martinez. Nice name. But back to Lomachenko and Nakatani. Man, Lomachenko's been a guy that used to bust people up. Just bang, 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 bang. And I don't mean bust people up like knock them out like with one punch, but he would hit you 8, 10, 12, 15. They were all crisp, perfect. And, you know, sooner or later, you wanted to quit. A lot of guys just quit on him. They just quit in the corner. So I don't have no part of this, man. I had enough. I'm just quitting. But at the end of the day, you know, he couldn't match up against Teofimo Lopez, basically because I think of the youth, that Lopez was young, and if Lopez was hungry, of course, he's all very talented, but he's also bigger. And size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Therefore, I think Lomachenko, if he really wanted to go back to be his best, he'd probably go back to 130 pounds. But then again, he'd have to take off 5 more pounds. And I told you before, dieting is just not... It's dieting for dollars. Boxing is basically dieting for dollars. What you're doing, you're dieting for dollars. Remember, you know, I mentioned Roberto Duran earlier, him coming down in weight, but Ray Leonard, of course, had to make weight against Hector Camacho in one of his second to last fight. He had to make 160 pounds the morning of the fight. Mike Erke, the late promoter that died less than a year ago from pancreatic cancer, of course, from Erie, Pennsylvania. And speaking of Erie, Pennsylvania, Don Elbaum's going to turn 90 years old this week. And of course, he's the promoter that brought us Don King. He brought Don King into boxing back in 1974, I kid you not. But how did I go to Elbaum? Anyway, good old Elbaum. I want to mention Elbaum for the fact that, you know, he's a member of the International Boxing Hall of Fame. He deserves to be there. He's a hustler. He, in fact, you know, I don't know if I told you this, but maybe I have. What was the Bird family? Chris Bird, that heavyweight contender. Remember him out of the Flint, Michigan area? Of course, what did he do? He won the IBF title and then lost it anyway. But the bottom line is he had the fighting family and his father. I can't remember his father's first name. It might have been Pat. Anyway, his father was a fighter coming up, and, you know, he needed a fight on a card, and guess who was promoting? My man. And my man stepped in, when you have a guy that's a promoter, and he steps in and ends up doing the fight live, you've got something going on. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Coming up after the news, the best of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Of course, hour number 2 of Ring Talk Live Worldwide forthcoming. July 24th, T-Mobile Arena. I thought it was going to be at the new Las Vegas. I have a problem saying that. Las Vegas Raiders Stadium, but it's not going to be. It's led to T-Mobile Arena. I'm talking about Tyson Fury defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Deontay Wilder. Of course, Deontay, the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist from Mobile, Alabama, the boxing head hotbed that it isn't, taking on the unbeaten Fury, 30-0 with that one draw that he had to Wilder. Of course, he obliterated Wilder in the rematch. You know, probably obliterate him in the third fight, but the bottom line is they're going to make this happen because of the fact that Anthony Joshua didn't want to fight Tyson Fury under his Sky Sports contract. He wanted to have a DAZN contract. So the bottom line is Eddie Hearn said, guess what? You can skip it for a while. They skipped it for a while. It ain't happening. So it's Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder instead of Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Of course, that was supposed to happen down there in the desert. Joe Joyce and Carlos Takem are going to hook it up on July 24th. Here's a good fight. This is a guy I think you should take an eye on. He's the son of a former champion. You know, not too many sons of former champions can fight. Take Julio Cesar Chavez. Anyway, Conor Benn's going to take on Adrian Gonzalez. It's going to be on DAZN. That's going to be July 31st. So if you haven't got DAZN yet, well, you got to get DAZN. You haven't got ESPN, you lose. You're lost. ESPN Plus, of course, bringing you all the fights and the MMA. In fact, last night, the UFC had the Korean Zombie on the USC channel as far as their live stream was concerned, ESPN Plus. And on ESPN Plus, it was the Noah Inouye. So boxing and MMA hand in hand on the ESPN Plus app. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, this remote broadcast is not probably one that's going to make Ring Talk Hall of Fame, but we've had a good time trying to bring you an hour of entertainment. Don't forget, hour number two forthcoming after news. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Check out all the WBC Boxing news at WBCBoxing.com.